This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers, Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway, back with you. Al Borland, Papa Josh, Inducers Alley this morning, Wednesday episode of the show. Happy to have you with us. Championship week.
It's in the air.
You can feel it.
It's electric.
The tension.
Yeah.
The anticipation.
Yeah.
The fear.
The stress.
We have
this is for fun, right?
How much stress do you have right now, Jay?
I'm pretty carefree because the two that I'm in, I don't give two farts.
You're sleeping like a baby.
Yeah, it really does show. Like
you've probably extended your lifespan.
Yeah, at least a week.
Wow, so we did get news this morning, just breaking news, that Tyrod Taylor is going to start for the Giants.
Yeah.
Just seeing that live. And Jacoby Brissett's going to start for the Manders.
Ooh, that's new information for me.
It was humorous because yesterday when the news is going, you know, the news feed from various resources, we got one on our site. It's like, it was just a bunch of coaches that didn't know which quarterback they're going to play. Minnesota didn't know. The Commanders don't know. We don't know about Stroud. We don't know about Lawrence. We don't know about Tyrod and DeVito.
Know about DeVito.
Now hey, we do.
That was a great run.
Oh, for Tommy
yeah,
D?
Yeah. Good work, Cutlets. I hope you got your cash anywhere you possibly could.
Yeah, I mean.
He looked like he was having a good time, and that's what you got to do. Because at any moment, at any particular halftime, it could be gone.
It is funny how quickly those things evaporate. I posted a tweet yesterday, a poll over on X. Now, don't go look because I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to see what you think the answer was.
I missed the poll.
I was talking about those of you out there that were on their way to the title game and what do you think helped you the most along the way? And there are four choices.
Oh, picking the right players.
one option was having a great draft.
Okay.
One option was great waiver wire pickups.
Okay.
One option was great trades.
Mm-hmm.
And then one option was great start-sit decisions.
Mm. I know what order it should be in.
All right. Let's hear what you believe the order should be.
I think it would be draft, waivers, for sure, as
the top
second,
two.
And then start-sit third and trades four.
Okay, Mike, theories?
I will go waivers at the top because we had some
Puka, Kyren,
we had some monsters this year. Where if you went in,
remember when Puka, I got Kyren and you had wanted to draft him, but Kyle wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, Kyle's like, why would we draft Kyren Williams? I'm like, is Cam Akers really the guy? I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah,
hold that against him even today.
No.
Okay.
No,
you've let it go.
No, I've not let it go.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Mike, you think waivers first?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the answers, as of right now, 13,000 votes, 40% voted having a great draft.
Ah, okay. That's good.
So the foundation of your team, we talk about it every year. I mean, hopefully some of those 40% picked up the UDK, got them off to the good start. 37%. So very close. Great waiver wire pickups. So that is the majority of the vote. The 14% was great trades. For me, it was great trades that didn't happen.
Great trade rejections.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, yesterday I spent the day taunting people with trades that I had offered that they rejected.
That's a pro move.
Which is just a good old time.
I'll give you,
been doing that with Pittman.
I'll give you one. This was, I mean, it's so crazy. This is perfect example of don't veto trades because you don't know what's going to happen. Andy offered me, and at the moment that this was offered, it wasn't even that close.
No,
you got, it was a quick rejection.
But to think back only a few weeks ago and think of how insanely lopsided in my favor it would have been that you offered me, you were coming after Austin Eckler, who has since that exact moment collapsed. And in return for basically nothing that I gave away, I would have received Kyren Williams, a second round pick, which is our golden goose in our keeper league, and Amari Cooper, who at that time was a worthless, hadn't scored 5 points in like three straight weeks. They had no quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seemed, and Kyren was injured and whatever.
Yeah.
Had I accepted that, I would be in the championship.
You'd be in
game
my
right
boat
now,
right now. Yeah.
And you would be, oh my goodness, easy rejection.
I also went back and looked at the famous betrayal trade with Papa Josh, who's in studio today, and didn't realize in that trade, he would have also received Amari Cooper. So, but a lot of the trades that, you know, sometimes it's the ones that don't, that's why we say don't veto, because you don't really know what the next few weeks are going to hold. I could see trade. There are leagues that would have had you taken that deal, the Kyren deal with Eckler. There are leagues that would have vetoed that because they wouldn't have wanted Eckler going to a playoff contender or something.
Right.
And that trade was lopsided in the opposite direction. So please, commissioners out there, it starts with you. Be wise. Do not veto trades for any reason other than collusion. Open collusion, veto, and boot those managers. But otherwise, let it fly. We're all grown-ups. So
yeah, and situations change every single week.
Yeah.
Every week.
I mean, it's actually really upsetting how bad our memories are. And when you think about, like, Amari Cooper, I mean, he's just dominated with Joe Flacco. But you almost can't remember how bad it was right before you had Flacco and you had the quarterback roulette of, you know,
he was better with Watson, but then the second Watson went out for the year, it was like I tried to trade him to everybody. Nobody wanted to touch him.
Because the Cleveland Browns, it was P.J. Walker, and then they're like, no, it's not him. And then it was DTR, who they said, even when they picked up Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco got in on a game, like, no, DTR is still going to be our starter. So if you teams change, fantasy outputs change. It's a wild world this year.
It is. And we've got Hungry for More on today's show, some news to catch you up on. We'll preview a very, honestly, I find it to be a difficult matchup to break down for Thursday Night Football in terms of fantasy decisions to be made.
Yes.
Some mailbag on the show today, and we want to get you ready to rumble. Give yourself the best odds of winning on Sunday, which last I checked, there are 10 games in the early window.
That's stupid.
So we don't have enough TVs here, Mike.
Now you're speaking my language. Because Jason and I have been pushing for TV number 10 for a while.
Honestly, I think this is like, what, the second week it would have mattered? On the whole year?
There's usually 1 or 2 weeks per year.
Yeah.
But why? What are the NFL, your entire existence, like all you want is to dominate everything. Like you
10
took,
morning, 3 afternoon, 1 evening.
You took over Christmas weekend.
Yeah.
With an insane barrage of games, just nonstop football because it's all about the NFL. And then you're like, no, we'll do 10 games. We'll just get it over with real quick. What are you doing?
10-3. Maybe like 8-5.
Yeah.
You can still lopsided it.
Just at least four.
Yeah.
There should always be four afternoon games minimum.
We've got a big Thursday game with players that people have been playing. We have a big Saturday night game with the highest over-under of the week by a lot. That is the Dallas-Detroit Saturday night matchup.
Oh, that's going to be great.
53.5-point over-under last I had looked. And then we have the Sunday barrage. No Monday Night Football, though. No Monday Night Football. So your fantasy championship will be over.
Monday Night Football is on Saturday night.
Yeah. So New Year's Day, you can bask in it. We will. We don't have a show that day, right?
On Monday, no.
And then Tuesday, we'll come in and we'll reflect on how it went. And we'll be. You know, this is a year-round show. So we'll be getting into the 10 things to remember. We'll be breaking down all the lessons from the past year, and the NFL playoffs will be upon us. All right, couple reminders here at the top before we get into Hungry for More. I've got three reminders for the folks out there. The first one, brand new Dynasty Pod episode this morning. Jason was on that one with Kyle and Matthew Betts, and it is a Dynasty Sink or Swim.
Ooh, yeah, we talk about a lot of those questionable players and are they going to sink or swim? You want to know about Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, sorry. I hear that name now, and I just trip.
Yeah.
FootClanGiveaway.com, still going on. A signed Travis Etienne jersey, a bunch of fantasy footballers swag. It was really fun seeing a handful of videos over on X of people that they were celebrating with some footballers swag on Christmas morning. Some of the
that's a
significant
jolly Christmas.
Others out there picking up some
significant gear.
Yeah, thank you. And then fantasychamps.com right now, it's a good time to mention it. This is where you go and get your swag. Get your league trophy. They have belts. They have rings. And if you use the code FREERING through this show, you get a $59 championship ring for free when you buy a trophy. So in our leagues, the winner, they get a ring for themselves, and then they get the trophy, but that gets passed around. Mm-hmm. Check that out at fantasychamps.com. Code free ring. Put them both in your cart. Use that code, and you'll get a free ring. You guys ready to move on?
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Hungry for More, presented by Uber Eats.
All right, getting towards the end of the season. These names, I think, you know, you can't bring up a name in Hungry for More right now without having significant championship week implications. So, Mike, how are our picks just us trying to
will something into existence?
Correct.
A little bit. It's also both of ours have a bit of a mirror situation where they're good players. Everything should be fine when you play them, but there's a sandwich. There's a little blip that rightfully should give you a little bit of concern, but I'm hungry for more Zay Flowers. Have loved this guy. I mean, was very, very high on Zay Flowers coming into the NFL season. Looked immediately like the number one wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, which he was, but then it was a pretty bumpy ride with Mark Andrews there, and then Mark Andrews goes out. Zay Flowers is right back to a target hog. You know, last week against San Francisco, tough defense. He saw three targets in the red zone. He scored. He's had 17 or more fantasy points in 3 of 4 games. 3 of 4, because in the middle of that was an absolute one disaster, a one catch just out of nowhere. Seemingly out of nowhere in a very easy on a very easy defense to pass on, and now he gets the Miami Dolphins, who the Miami Dolphins are 23rd in schedule adjusted points to wide receivers, 47-point over under, a Baltimore favored by about 3.5 right now.
Big game.
That's a and yeah. Also, you can go the narratives of this is huge for the basically whoever wins this game is likely to get the bye week, like if. You know what I mean? So both teams are playing, but there was that blip.
Yeah.
And Miami has been getting better. They're like, the Miami defense has been very legit the last couple weeks. So it's, what do you do with Zay Flowers? So we're just, I'm,
well, I mean, look at
hunger for more of, let's make sure we actually get those targets and we don't have, how does Zay Flowers have a one catch day? How is that possible? And it just happened 2 weeks ago.
Baltimore is an incredible NFL team, but they don't win the same way every week.
Correct.
And Miami with Jalen Ramsey, Xavien Howard, like, I know CeeDee Lamb had a good game last week because he had the long touchdown. He went like two and a half quarters after that without a target in that game. So sometimes Baltimore wins on defense. Sometimes it's Lamar running. Sometimes it's Gus Bus. Sometimes it's, you know, Beckham. Like, it doesn't repeat, and so there's that fear. But Flowers, 17-plus points in three or four games, yeah, should give you some confidence.
Look, I'm 8 targets, 10 targets, 2 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 13 targets.
Yeah.
Like,
so the blip sends fear.
Oh, yeah.
But you're hungry for more of the not,
yeah,
blip.
Because as long as Zay Flowers is going to get targets, like, if he gets 8 or more targets, he'll be a very solid floor play with upside.
You're hungry for more targets.
Yeah.
And I am as well with my player. I think the targets are the key for a guy who's been on fire. I'm hungry for more James Conner.
Please.
I'm hungry for more James Conner getting passing work.
Yeah.
This last week was a tough matchup, and we were worried about it. It was the Chicago Bears, whose defense has been great. Their run defense has been outstanding. And so they targeted him 5 times, and he had 5 receptions. I mean, if you get 5 receptions as a baseline for a player as good as James Conner, the fantasy output's going to be great. He plays against Philly. Philly is the number 2 ranked defense on the course of the season of not giving up fantasy points to running backs. So it's like a really scary matchup. But you look at the last 2 weeks, and James Conner, I mean, he played against San Francisco. Scary defense. Bad matchup for running backs. Well, he was the running back 11. Last week, scary defense. Bad for running backs against Chicago. He was the running back 5. So I know I'm hungry for more. I know Andy is very, yeah,
well,
hungry,
look,
for more James Conner, because the running back 5, the running back 11, the running back 5 on 27, 17, and 17 opportunities. Keep feeding this man.
What's crazy is I mentioned this last week with my somewhat optimism about Saquon Barkley. The Philadelphia Eagles run defense on the year has been dominant, but over the last 5 weeks, they're the 9th best matchup for running backs.
Kenneth Walker torched them.
Yep. You saw Dallas go 7 points above expectation. You saw the Giants last week, 3.5 points above expectation with Saquon. So there is a little bit of optimism there for Conner. And look, the matchups have been bad for Conner for a while, and he just keeps getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the running back I just mentioned is my hungry for more. It's Saquon Barkley. I'm thrilled they just announced Tyrod Taylor as the starter. What you need is some, like, I just want, like, bottom third, not dead last in moving the football. If you move the football down the field at all, Saquon's going to have an opportunity. He went 23 for 80 in a touchdown against that Philly defense. He had 6 targets in that game. The Rams, it's another tough matchup for Saquon Barkley, and he has been, much like Zay Flowers, he has been the red light, green light. Mm. He plays great. He has a bad game. Great, bad game. But the fact that Tyrod Taylor is coming
these
back,
these trends continue.
You just want to see opportunity inside the 20. It will be the Saquon show. 23 rushing opportunities against Philly is awesome. So I am hungry for more Saquon heading into championship week. And that's my name that I wanted to mention.
Yep.
That was Hungry for More, presented by Uber Eats. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. An O-line?
No.
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 Carton of OJ?
Yeah. Okay.
Delicious.
Order now on the app. Product availability may vary by region. See the app for details. All right. Let's do it.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Speaking of OJ real quick,
mm-hmm.
I have a 15-year-old son, and when you're young, like things like heartburn, that's not like part of your world, right?
Right.
You just eat like a pig.
It's just a trash compactor.
Yeah, and you it don't matter, right? You don't deal with heartburn. So he gets some heartburn from all the Christmas, vacuuming up of the treats, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's never had heartburn, really. And so I give him some Tums. And he takes the Tums and he starts to feel better. And about 10 minutes later, he goes, I'm still feeling it a little bit. And I go, well, did you drink some water? And he goes, I just had a tall glass of orange juice.
So he didn't know
that maybe that acid would cause a bit of a...
Let me douse this fire with some gasoline.
Yeah,
it's liquid.
I didn't know whether to be mad, disappointed. Hey, I didn't. I was just like,
that's a tough lesson.
I was like, buddy, you drank some acid.
You just gotta tell him, like, maybe just have some more. You know?
Yeah.
Just...
I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So, wow.
Also, going back to where we were beforehand, you were talking about the Rams as a tough defense against Saquon. You're hungry for more Saquon. I just looked it up because I know the Rams have been a tough matchup.
Yeah.
They are the absolute most difficult matchup for all running backs over the last 6 weeks. Over the last 3 weeks,
they ruined Kamara last week.
They ruined Kamara. We're talking not like 3 points below expectation, 10 points below expectation. 2 weeks ago, 10 points below expectation. 3 weeks ago, 12 points below expectation. They are shutting down the running backs.
My narrative for why Kamara could do well was because they played, Washington without Brian Robinson and the Cardinals without Connor and Cleveland without a running back. And, well, it didn't matter. They shut down Kamara. The nice thing is, if it counts for anything, Giants are at home.
So that's fair.
Most of the three of those five matches were in L.A. But, yeah, it's not great.
No.
Good luck to you, laddie.
Bah! All right. C.J. Stroud's concussion symptoms, getting into the news here, have subsided. He is set to resume activities this week. I had somebody message me on Twitter. They said, your rankings, they have C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields really close. I said, look, if it's me, I'm just going to play Justin Fields. I know C.J. Stroud's at home. I know that they have an opportunity against Tennessee, and I don't. You guys might have a completely different opinion. It just makes me fearful. No Tank Dell coming back from the concussion. Seeing some blips on C.J. Stroud's resume of late, I just play Justin Fields and roll with that, assuming D.J. Moore is there. If D.J. Moore was out, maybe that changes the equation.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what he did before getting concussed, it really wasn't that great for fantasy purposes. Yes, he had the 41-point monstrous week in Week 9, and he had a 30-point week in Week 12. Like, so he's got a ceiling, but he also had a 16-point week, a 15-point week, a 12-point week in that same stretch since the bye week. So he's not like a locked in guaranteed, oh man, I get CJ Stroud back, so my opponent's got to be super scared. Stroud is a decent play this week at home, or I'm sorry, against Tennessee.
It is at home.
Oh yeah. Home against Tennessee. That's a good matchup. I'm fine playing him.
Big news for Nico to have him back.
I'm more happy for the other pieces.
Noah Brown goosed again. So he would be He'd be a dance with the devil on championship week, but
I would dance with Noah Brown. I'll dance with that devil. Noah Brown should be a good play this week. I'm not afraid.
I mean, that look, you have been the courageous one. You mentioned Noah Brown the 1 week of the last four that he didn't goose.
Yeah.
But
he's not goosing this week.
Well, it's Dalton Schultz was back and had a bunch of targets. 6 targets for Robert Woods. Nico Collins, I don't think I'm starting him. TJ Hockenson out for the season, torn MCL, ACL.
Yeah, man.
The number 2 tight end is gone, and it's late season injury, so you just hope he's back and healthy to start the year.
He almost certainly won't be. Because of the timeline being this late, both ACL and MCL tears, you're going to wait to have surgery until swelling goes down. So it'll be a couple weeks before he has surgery. I think there's a really solid chance that you don't have him to start the season.
The Vikings still haven't decided which of their 3 quarterbacks to start. Do you have – let's say you had Justin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, you know who you want.
You want Mullins.
Million percent. Yes. Every fantasy football manager out there is praying for Mullins. And – right now, that's where I lean. I think it will be Mullins, but TBD. And you know, there's some coaches that are very, you know, restrictive and, oh, we're not going to tell you what's going on. And there's some coaches that are just really honest and open. Kevin O'Connell is a pretty straight shooter. When he knows, he'll tell you. I really believe that he's still figuring it out.
Well, the KJ Osborne question is the one for me. Like, I'm picking him up in a couple of leagues where I have, like, Josh Downs or Curtis Samuel. Like, I want to play Osborne, but I don't want to play him with Jaren Hall, and I don't want to play him with Joshua Dobbs.
Right.
So I am hoping for Mullins myself, and that would make that decision for me. Mike Tomlin implied Mason Rudolph will start again in Week 17.
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Mike? How do you feel about Mason Rudolph's performance?
He balled out. Well, he had some really big plays to George Pickens against the Bengals. We'll see.
Doug Peterson said Trevor Lawrence right shoulder injury is an AC joint sprain. He's progressing. This would be the third straight week that he's progressing with an injury that we don't think he'll play. And I guess what? I think he'll play. They need him to play. He played after the concussion. He played after the ankle. He's probably going to play after the shoulder. But we'll see.
Yeah,
does it change how you'd start Ridley?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously if Lawrence isn't there, I would be hesitant to start Ridley. I think there's a decent chance he does not play. So we'll really have to monitor this one.
He's been beat up.
And hasn't been performing Beathard well.
Beathard provided some fantasy value for Ridley last week.
And
it's Carolina.
The last 3 weeks, he is completing 57% of his passes.
Yeah, Carolina
is literally screaming in pain after every play.
I'm not saying I could do any better with those injuries, but
took Zay Jones and Kirk away, and then just broke most of his body.
Yeah, yep. Carolina is a terrible matchup for wide receivers, for quarterbacks. So I'm not really looking forward to that matchup. ETN. I mean, especially if you've got a banged up Trevor Lawrence,
Ingram?
ETN should be the Ingram should be okay, and ETN should be great.
Will Levis will try to practice on Wednesday. Will Levis would give you moderate flex hope for DeAndre Hopkins, where there is none in Tannehill. Jacoby Brissett will start.
Where's the beef?
Jacoby, where's the beef, Brissett?
He's back.
It's good.
Yes.
It's good for McLaurin. It's good for Dotson. I mean, throw last week out. They played the Jets. But, you know, he played a limited amount of time in that game, went 10 for 13, threw, you know, another touchdown. It's good for his passer rating has been great the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's still
140.
Still a tough defense. He's playing against San Francisco, but they're at home. It puts Terry McLaurin into the startable category.
Tyrod Taylor, I mentioned that he'll start against the Rams at home. That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Quick break. Back with the difficult Thursday night preview. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
It'll all be fine. It'll all be fine. This will be a super easy breakdown. Lots of confidence from my friends in this one. Let's do it.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
You think we're ever going to get to the point where, like, the you know, the medical associations, they come out and they say, we do not recommend men over 60 to play fantasy football? Men with high blood pressure? Men with heart conditions? Like, is that going to be, is this the next smoking?
I don't think they will do that because they themselves play fantasy football.
That's true.
You got to exercise. And then when people are like, well, Why do you do it? Why are you out there busting your butt? You're like, because I want to play fantasy football.
Oh, that's the reason.
Yeah.
So I
you got to get the heart strong.
Most of Sunday on my Peloton? Is that what you're telling me?
No, because if you combine.
Not at the same time.
If you exercise while tilting your face off, you will spontaneously combust.
He died as he lived.
Tuesday, Wednesday, prepare your body on the Peloton.
Just sleep through the games. All right, New York, 6-9, taking on the Cleveland Browns, 10-5. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Cleveland, -7.5 at home. The over-under is 35. That gives the Jets 13 points. So let's start with the easy decisions. The Cleveland defense.
Oh, yeah, they're in.
We know that Trevor Siemian's going to be back.
Yeah, Zach Wilson has been ruled out.
This is... So the Cleveland defense.
Man, this game is going to be wild. The Cleveland defense is a lock. The Browns can't run the ball. They have really struggled running. And they're throwing it like crazy with Flacco, obviously mostly to Amari Cooper. 40-plus every time. But you cannot throw on the Jets. You just can't do it.
They give up 168 a week passing yards.
A statuesque pocket passer. And Joe Flacco trying to just air it out on the Jets, it ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. I can't imagine him picking apart this Jets secondary. I can imagine this Jets secondary picking him off and maybe...
Short field situation for Breece?
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, I think Breece is okay because of that. I mean, you're going to start Breece no matter what. You have to have the upside play. It's not a great. I mean, these are two good defenses. I would start the Jets defense as well. I think that they're okay. Now, the Browns being favored by 7.5, being implied for over 20 points. Maybe I'm more scared than I should be of the Jets defense.
There were people on Twitter, and maybe they're just angry Jets fans. They said, please stop hyping up the Jets defense. They're like, it's awful. They just, you know, they gave up a 28 points in the second half to Washington. And while I understand the emotion behind that, the math says they're the very best against quarterbacks and wide receivers, and not by a little bit, by a lot. And so it is a really tough situation.
And when they give up those points, I mean, they gave it all up really quickly, like when they stopped playing football. They literally took their players out of the game, and then because it was like 27-7 towards the end of the game, and they're benching their guys, and then they were, whoops, we did that too early.
Here's one other guaranteed start is David Njoku. David Njoku, I just looked this up. This is not a small sample, guys. This is from week 7 through 16, so 10 full games. He's on pace for 160 targets, 95 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 10.5 touchdowns in that span. He's had 1 week outside the top 12 at the position. I can see a ton of tight end screens, short area Njoku targets.
Throw it right in front of you in the middle of the field and let Njoku take a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, this is he's on 175 target pace over the last 6 weeks. So he's going to be targeted, and he is comfortable and fine.
And what about the – you got revenge game stack.
No? With Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco and Elijah Moore. I mean, these are –
well, Elijah Moore's challenge is he can't catch the football.
I understand, but he's going to be extra angry.
Yeah, I mean, he will run around. I couldn't stand watching last week and watching Elijah Moore because the few targets that he received were disgusting because of him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he is, you know, the Joe Flacco against the Jets narrative, 21 points. I mean, it's they can't run the football. Do you think they get to 21 points? That's the question.
The Browns?
Yeah.
I think they do.
I think this game could hit the over, but not based on the offenses.
Right.
I think that both of these defenses score a touchdown in this game. And then you will have some, you know, Amari Cooper is the biggest question because people who have Amari Cooper, how do you possibly sit him off of the biggest performance of the entire year where he balled out and was amazing? How could you sit him? Right now I've got him as my wide receiver 24. So if you're in the championship game and you've got Amari Cooper, you probably have, I mean, you're in the championship game. You've got a good roster. You might have other, you might have three other top 24 wide receivers this week where there's the potential to look at saying, man, I could see how this game goes very poorly and sit him down. But I think the majority of people, you're not going to be able to sit Amari Cooper. You're going to hope that he's hyper targeted. Mike, you brought up he could get a big play. You know, he's getting targeted down the field. It just takes one 60-yard catch to make you happy enough in this game. And obviously around the end zone, he's been looked at a lot.
Do you go, what about Garrett Wilson on the other side versus Amari Cooper?
Oh, there's no way I would not play Cooper.
Without a doubt, Cooper over Garrett Wilson. Okay. Garrett Wilson to me is someone that I would prefer to bench this week. You've got a
he's averaging 10 targets a game.
Mm-hmm. But on the road against Cleveland without Zach Wilson, Garrett Wilson is, I mean.
His last two road games, he finished with negative points and with 4 points against Miami. And it's tough because it's just not a lot of points available to Trevor Siemian. I was wrong. I mean, last week he was good. But I play Amari Cooper. I play the favorite. I play the guy that's leading the league in reception yards over the last 6 weeks.
So, like, as of right now, you know, just so for some personal anecdotes, I am currently leaning on I will be playing Zay Flowers over Garrett Wilson. I haven't locked that decision in. I mean, the clock is obviously ticking here with the Thursday night matchup. But so just that's my headspace of where I am with Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, the
but I'm playing Cooper. I'm getting it. I'm putting him in. And then
it's a good discussion. I know Brooks is chiming in saying, look, it's how you play fantasy. I could never live with Bench and Cooper. I get it. I think the discussion's important, though, because if you just stay stuck in the mud on these matchups, like, you know, there have been Saquon weeks where it was probably worth benching him, but I didn't have the courage to do it.
Right.
Because you stick with that player. I think you probably are staying in the flames here, but that has to, you know, if Njoku's good, if Cooper's good, everybody that I've talked to is benching Joe Flacco this week.
That's where I was going to go with the conversation of do you
play the number one quarterback from last week.
Do you play Joe Flacco or do you go with, you know, we brought up some what I think are the process anyway. It says some good streamers of like Derek Carr gets to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I would play Derek Carr.
Baker Mayfield gets to play the Saints.
I would play Baker.
And probably again without Lattimore. So if you have Mike Evans, congratulations, you probably don't have to deal with that.
I'd play Kyler. I'd play Russell Wilson. If there's a good enough option, I would play those over Flacco this week.
Geno Smith against Pittsburgh.
I'd play Geno.
Gardner Minshew against Las Vegas.
I've got them back to back in my rankings.
I'm okay going Flacco.
I think
on
I would
that
go
one.
Flacco there.
They have been on fire. That is fair. And the Jets. You know, their defense has had to fight tooth and nail all year long, and they're not playing for anything anymore. So it would be interesting if the game got away from them, what happens to their defense. It's a tough one. It's going to be – I mean, it's a game with a 35-point over-under to start your championship week with players that you've been playing every week. Like, here's what I'll say. I don't think you get through this game where Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Amari Cooper, David Njoku, all those guys have good weeks. I don't think that happens.
Or all of them having bad weeks. I don't think that happens either. You're going to have a handful of guys you're happy with and mostly sad.
The tight end one in fantasy since week 7, David Njoku.
Dude.
Tight end number one.
It's about freaking time.
Right?
Cleveland. I don't know what you've been doing. I mean, how
it
long
is, I mean, the Ingram Njoku stories of their career are comical.
Yeah.
This was 5 years ago you were drafted, and these guys were first-round picks.
They were supposed to be year, superstars.
This is year 7.
The three of those guys, Njoku, Evan Ingram, and O.J. Howard.
Yeah. Yep.
They were, you know.
Number one since week 7, number 5 on the year, already at 115 targets in this offense. And career high in touches.
Did you say this is year 7?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I said 5 years. Wow, year 7.
Yeah.
Just wait for the year 7 breakout, everyone.
It's
dynasty players out there, pull your hair out. Because not only was Njoku drafted, Ingram drafted in dynasty leagues to be great, and then you went through the mire and you know your soul died and then you traded them away. But then now you're watching across the league and somebody else has them and they're delivering for them.
Yeah, it's ridiculous it took him this long. But, hey, we're here now.
It's great. It's great. I'm very, very happy that I snuck him into trades at the deadline. And, Mike, you know, we talked about the schedule. It just lined up for Njoku as well. He's 27 still.
Yeah, he
was
he
too young.
He came into the league as a baby monster. I mean, he was the biggest manned young. Yeah, I mean, he was just too young. He was too young for the NFL.
Right.
Kyle Pitts just 23. Are we waiting for his year 7?
Yeah. We're in year
3.
3. Yeah, we got a ways to go
for sure.
Pitts.
4 more years.
Oh my goodness. All right, anything else from this game you want to discuss? I think a lot of people have been asking on the website. Number 4 in terms of start sit questions in the week 17 rankings has been whether you play the Jets defense on the road Thursday night against the Browns, who have been cruising, or you pivot to somebody else like Chicago against Atlanta, the Rams against the Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, who's been on fire against Indianapolis. Like, me personally, I play those three defenses. I play them all over the Jets.
Really?
I would.
That's tough.
I mean, you got 7.5 point favorites here.
Flacco's thrown 5 interceptions in the last 2 weeks. I know he's been great for fantasy and he's been winning ball games, but like how you score in fantasy, you know, the interception is the highest.
Yeah, the pass rush and the interception.
It's the highest odds to a touchdown, right? And so is the pick. And I think Flacco throws at least 2 picks in this game. So I still lean the Jets.
Okay. Over all those? Over the Rams against the Giants?
Yeah, I don't. Tyrod
just play the better defense.
I think so. I mean, that's where I lean. These are all good options. But I'm gonna, you know, especially since it's that close. Let me know how my defense does on Thursday. Get a head start on the week if I need to make pivot options with more knowledge. Championship week.
Yeah, it's a good point. It'll be an interesting game. Let's do some championship week mailbag. All right, here we go. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the submit a question button, or dial the voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB. Jumping into a voicemail question, here we go, and it is a funny one.
Hey, ballers, do I dare start David Njoku over Stephon Diggs this week? Championship. Thanks. Let me know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Do you dare?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my goodness.
I would do that.
So Stephon Diggs gets the Patriots.
I would do it, too. What an insane question. David Njoku, 6-year bust tight end.
Yeah.
Versus superstar.
We need to shut this year down, man.
Josh, this year is drunk.
Can I make a secondary decision for you? How about David Njoku or Austin Eckler this week?
I would go Eckler there.
I think Eckler's actually a good play.
I know it's
crazy, but
he worked his way into double digit points.
He had double digit points was bad. Last week, 19 opportunities, and he plays against Denver, and Denver's defense has been better, but against the run, that's where they get beat.
So Diggs or Njoku, Mike?
Oh my god.
His last four games against the Patriots, 7 for 85 and a touchdown, 7 for 92 and a touchdown, 7 for 104 and a touchdown, 6 for 58 and a touchdown. But that was
I know you're not reading Diggs.
I mean that's
yeah. Yeah, so
because Diggs' last couple games is 5 for 29 and no touchdown.
That was Diggs against New England. The last four matches against New England.
Oh,
he's dominated them, but this is not the same Stephon Diggs right now.
No, it's not, and it has coincided with the change of offensive coordinator too,
and the change in the running.
Amari
philosophy.
Cooper or Stephon Diggs?
Cooper. Jason, plunging his head into his microphone.
You got to do your fantasy algebra here. If you're going to start Njoku over Stephon Diggs, you would certainly start Amari Cooper.
Yeah,
there's no way I'm going to live in the betting on Diggs revival after the amount of weeks that has happened. I'm not going to do that.
That's a good point. Mike.
It's the number.
Are you playing Cooper over Diggs?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to move Diggs down in the rankings.
I was just thinking the same
thing. Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah, and I think you do. I think you flex the tight end, which is redonkulous.
You guys want to quit the show? Is it
a little bit?
Yeah, just for this season.
Where is Diggs in the rankings right now?
I'm moving him down.
I have him around 16 to 20.
Yeah, I just bumped into 20.
Yeah, he's at.
I'm looking at guys that
this
like
question is
Zay Flowers, Nico Collins.
Loyalty pays no dividends. Points are what win championships.
I there's a handful of these guys that I would rather play over Stephon Diggs at this point. I mean, he's not someone that, is incapable. He still looked all right to me on the field.
It makes no
sense.
They've
been missing on some stuff.
Well, there's a couple of things. We talked about this on the Dynasty show, but they're not targeting him deep as much. They're not connecting deep as much. And the way that he is being used since the coordinator change and the way that the team is operating since the coordinator change puts him in a less valuable situation.
He had a deep target that should have been about a 75-yard touchdown last week that Josh Allen underthrew it. It was a pick. They did take the shot. And what's crazy is they've won games. Four of the last five games they've won. 32 points, 20 points, 31 points, 24 points. All four of those games, Stephon Diggs, 57, 58, 46, 66 in fantasy finish. So it is
and yet a 22% target share, 31, 38, 38. The last 2 weeks, he has seen 38% of
the
target.
This is what I'm talking about.
You don't bench him over everybody.
Right. Okay.
You
can still find value there. It's just a matter of whether or not the Buffalo Bills are going to need to throw the ball a lot. 38% of a team that has decided against the Cowboys to just run the ball every single play and succeed and win the game that way. You could have 60% of a bad pie and
not
be happy.
I'm very happy that they're at home this week against New England. You start to make decisions about Stephon Diggs or Rashee Rice, Stephon Diggs or...
I would go Rice.
Mike Evans?
I would go Mike Evans.
Stephon Diggs or Brandon Ayuk?
That's a fair question.
I would go Ayuk.
I think
Washington
game. Yeah, I mean, Davante Adams or Stephon Diggs. Davante Adams plays Indy. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, his quarterback.
Isn't it
a
good matchup for wide receivers?
It's average. I think it's a much better matchup for running backs.
I'm going to play Diggs over Adams.
I mean, outside wideouts dominate Indianapolis. That's what Kyle is reminding us.
I will remind you, the Raiders had no passing yards in three quarters.
I understand that.
I'll take 38% of Josh Allen's targets.
But we can't be so biased to 1 week that they scored 63 points where Trey Tucker, Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams, and Michael Mayer all dominated a week prior. So I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just laying it out.
Yep.
All right, another voicemail.
Hey, footballers. Steve from Phoenix here. Got a tough one. I'm in the finals in my league, and I can't decide between Joe Mixon or Ty Chandler. Really hard one. Hope you guys are having a good day. Bye.
Whew. I don't feel great about Ty Chandler this week. I'm just going to throw that out
there.
Really? No, I don't. Obviously, Madison's going to get worked in more than he was last week coming off of the injury. Ty Chandler, really inefficient. I know it's the Packers matchup. There's opportunity there. I'm not saying Chandler can't deliver. I am curious where you both are with Ty Chandler. Mike, you have a start-sit decision with him.
Yeah, so the Packers right now over the last 5 weeks have been the sixth best matchup over expectation. And the Chiefs. Let me find them real quick. The Chiefs over the last 5 weeks have been right behind the Packers. So not a tough matchup in terms of giving up points above your expected points.
Yeah, this is
8 attempts last week.
This is a volume play to me. Which is Mixon.
Yeah.
The matchups are similar enough. One isn't great and one is terrible. I don't know. I think Ty Chandler is a decent play this week. I'm not anti-Chandler. Without Hockenson, without Addison, they're going to need to run the ball more. And so I think Chandler's okay, but he could end up with 7 or 8 carries in the game and Madison worked in more. I mean, we just don't know how the game plan will work. We don't even know what quarterback it's going to be, whereas at least with Mixon, we've seen him have a lot of success with Jake Browning, get a ton of work. So I'm gonna lean on the volume.
All right, this is a good question from Braxton.
Well, hold on here.
Breaking news.
What do you got for us?
This is from Rap Sheet. So Ian Rappaport, the Broncos are strongly considering having quarterback Russell Wilson sit for the final two games, preserving financial flexibility for the off season. Wilson has 37 mil in 2025 salary that vests in March of 2024 if he suffered a serious injury. It would complicate matters.
Yeah, they're eliminated now. So I don't think that those two guys get along. I don't think that's the future.
It's the right move.
I'm done with this season.
Mike is retiring.
I'm out of here.
From 2023.
Wow.
Don't worry. The calendar turns over, Mike. It's 2024
soon. Is
that
Jared Stidham?
You betcha.
Yeah, baby.
Ironically, Jarrett Stidham was who took over for Carr when they benched Carr in the exact same situation last year.
Jared Stidham.
You want to know who?
Is it Stidham, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Look that up. You want to know who's alerting these general managers about the contract tolling?
Is it Stidham?
Jared Stidham's agent. Jared Stidham's agent is calling these general managers.
I've reviewed the contracts.
Look, now that you're out of it, you need to be aware of what's going to happen if Russ goes out there and gets injured.
That is too funny. Stidham is minding his P's and Q's.
Yeah.
The contract assassin.
What's great is one of my championship leagues that I'm in, it's a best ball super flex. I got Stidham on the roster, baby. Nice. Sit him down. Sit Russ down.
Sit him for Stidham.
Yeah.
Nice. Also, I mean, with Cortland, we'll see if Cortland Sutton plays, but thank goodness.
That's brutal.
Well, it's brutal, but it's also, thank goodness, there's
who plays them this
real
week?
No fantasy options.
What's
here.
The Denver? Is it the Chargers?
Chargers at Denver.
If you have no Cortland Sutton, you have no Russell Wilson.
Bet the under.
Yeah. I guess you would never play the Chargers
against
defense.
Easton but Stick.
Well done, Jarrett. You figured out. Sit him. That's the campaign every year. He needs
season,
to find. That's what he's doing. He's finding quarterbacks
contracts.
That he knows at the end of the year, that's the team he goes to that
year.
Genius. All right, this is our final question here. It's a good one from Braxton because a lot of you are in this situation like Mike. I'm playing against a juggernaut in the championship. That'd be me, Mike. You're playing me. I'm the juggernaut. What are the tips you have when you're overmatched? Do you play a player like Kyler over Stafford? Stafford's been a low ceiling option this year. Do you play upside type of options like a Darius Slayton over a Wandale or a, that's a bad example, but like a you know, somebody who would, do you sit Cooper because you don't think a ceiling game exists and play someone like Davante Adams where maybe a ceiling game does exist?
I think you're definitely looking for more ceiling, more explosiveness, high upside. It's the type of matchup where you can get yourself to play a Gabe Davis, someone that can have a 70-yard touchdown, even though
George Pickens
could really hurt you. You know, who has the explosiveness in the matchup? I would also try, if you can, to stack. You know, if you're, you know, if you've got the decision between Stafford and Kyler, and you think, oh, Stafford hasn't really had upside, Kyler has the upside. Well, if you've got Puka or Cooper Kupp or some, or you've got Trey McBride, play the one that matches your quarterback, because if that player gets the touchdowns, it's a powerful tool.
That's good advice. The stack is powerful.
You need touchdowns,
and
is what you need.
Focus on touchdowns with your DST.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who's going to throw picks and try to get. I mean, those are, you want to beat a juggernaut, you end up with 15 points from your defense. You know, that's the put work into that.
I played, I was in several playoffs, and in two of them I faced the Raiders defense on their 24-point week, and I was eliminated in both of those, and I was the favorite in both. So it's a good point. If you get an overwhelming defensive performance, that is massive. So that'll do it for today's episode of the podcast. Tomorrow we'll dig into the matchup starts of the week and get that going for championship Sunday, pretty much. I mean, it's going to be a big week. A reminder, you can head over to jointhefoot.com if you'd like to support this podcast. If we have been bringing you entertainment, advice, anything you appreciate, check out the community of 30,000 strong, more than that, actually. You get access to all of the Discord channels, premium tools and resources, extra episodes during the off season when we drop down to two regular shows a week, and you get to hang out with the best people on earth. So
Just
jointhefoot.com.
Quick update Jeremy found. So Denver, if they win, they actually will maintain a 12% chance to get into the playoffs. So essentially eliminated, but not totally.
Okay. Is it a 12% chance to lose $37 million? Is that worth it? That's the question that Sean Payton and company will have to decide. Maybe he's made up his mind on Russell Wilson already. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about that and all the matchups. Take care, Foot Clan.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.